Numbers chapter 16 for a moment. Look at verse 31. And he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded or one life to the dead. And not enough to believe them. He said that Lazarus, don't listen to him. He said, look, they hear Moses and the prophets. You need to know what Moses and the prophets said. do what we preach. If you tell people why we do what we do. So I ask you for what we do in the church. That's what we do. Anybody can tell people that. You do this because this is what you do. That is what you do. That's what we do. How do you talk? Do you ask those questions? Here's a question. Who is my neighbor? The letter asked this too in Matthew 22. Who is our neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Is that the guy that lives on the left or the right? Who's your neighbor? You know why you asked that question? He thinks he's up front. So he already knew the answer to that. He already knew who his neighbor was. He was seeking to justify himself because he knew that he hadn't done what God was about to tell him that he should have been doing. Jesus told him to follow that teaching and he would live. He was seeking to justify himself. What does that Bible, what does that book say? That you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and the second lack of choice is that you love your neighbor as yourself. Who is your neighbor? Who's your neighbor, friend? Well, I know my neighbors on both sides of me. That's not your neighbor. That's not the neighbor that Jesus is talking about. Who is my neighbor? Well, you know who he is. Who am I to love? I love my neighbor as myself. You know who that is? Who's my neighbor, God, dude? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, man was made in the image of God. But then look at Galatians chapter 6 for a moment. Look at verse 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. We are to love and do good to all men. You know that co-worker that you work with, that's in the denomination, that's going in the wrong direction spiritually, that you talk about your favorite sports team, that you talk about your children, you talk about your grandchildren, that's your neighbor.
You know that person you go to school with that doesn't attend church, that doesn't know about God? That's your neighbor. You know your family that are not members of the church and are going in the wrong direction and are not placing God in a prominent position and are in false religion. That's your neighbor. And you should love that neighbor as you do yourself. Let me ask you a question, brethren. If you started doing things that were dangerous to your soul and it was putting your soul in jeopardy, if I loved you, what would I do? Would I just let you go? Would I just sit here and not say anything? No, I won't do that. And you know what? I won't do that not because I'm a preacher. I won't do that because I'm your brother and your soul's in danger. And if I love you, I'll go to you and I'll talk to you. Brethren, how do we claim to love men when the greatest need they have, we can't find the words to talk to them about it? Oh, we can talk about the weather. We can talk about our grandkids. I'd love to talk about my grandkids. Just ask me. I'll talk about them. Love to talk about my Bears. They're undefeated at least for 6 more hours. But you know what? I don't love to talk about anything more than the Bible. And you know why? Because that's the most needed thing that men need, is the Bible. And how is it that seems to be the last thing that we bring up in a conversation? Why is that? Truth doesn't change with the times. You know, I know times are changing. I know men are changing. And I know men's attitudes are changing, but it doesn't matter. Is man still lost in sin? Does he still need Jesus Christ's blood? Is he still going to face God in judgment? Is that still going to happen? That's still going to happen. And am I responsible to show him the way to the cross? Yes, I'm responsible. Neighbors are opportunity to share. What is the greatest need? You know, there's a song that we sing in our book. And every time I sing it, I get a lump in my throat. It's called "You Never Mentioned Him to Me." You saw me day by day and knew I was astray, and yet never mentioned him to me. You know, I can picture in my mind, it's not a dream, it's a nightmare, that I'm standing before the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm in that long line of all the people who are going to stand before him. And there is a man standing in front of him that I saw on numerous occasions in my life. And I had an opportunity to talk to him about the gospel. I just couldn't find the words. I couldn't find the time. I meant to, but I never got around to it. And the Lord says, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." And he just leans down, and he looks down at me, standing down there, and says, "Keith, why didn't you warn me?" That's a nightmare. Because you know what? I know the Lord's going to ask me. And you know, I have spent my life to make sure that the Lord never asked me that question. Because I don't want to be lost because I couldn't find the words or the love in my heart to tell somebody that they're headed in the wrong direction. What is their greatest need? If there's a greater need, I don't know what it is, do you? If man has a greater need than the salvation and destiny of his soul, I don't know what it is. If you do, you please let me know. I don't think there's a greater need. And we need to find the words. And you know the words are found in the Bible. You don't have to find the words. You don't have to think of what to say. Where is the power of God? It's not in you. It's not in me. It's in the message. Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The power is in the message. Point into the message. Point into the Word of God. That's what they need to hear. Well, what if they don't believe it? That's your choice. What if they reject it? That's fine. That's your choice. But you've done all you can do. Read Ezekiel chapter 18. "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." But remember, in Ezekiel chapter 3, God said, "Ezekiel, I'm going to make you a watchman. And you go in there and you tell the people what they need to hear. And if they reject you and they won't change, then you saved yourself. But if you don't warn them, and they die in their sin, I will require at their hand, but their blood I will require at your hand. Because you saw that they were astray and you didn't say anything." You see, that's man's greatest need. We need to be always busy seeking to try to help others. Now, here's the last question. So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Now, there were three people who had the opportunity to help the thief. A priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. The priest, he walked by on the other side. The Levite, he did the same. But the Samaritan bound his wounds, took him to an inn, took care of him, and then gave money to the innkeeper to take care of him until he could travel. And he said, "If you need anything else other than that, after it's done, you see me, and I'll take care of it." And so Jesus said, now which one of the three was truly a neighbor to the man? You know, they knew the answer to that. That wasn't a hard question. Do you know what that means? They had personal understanding of the principles that God was teaching them. They understood the principles that God said. You know why? Because he answered the question right, didn't he? He said, well, the one that showed him compassion and pity. And you remember what God said? Remember what God's Son said? He said, "Go, do thou likewise." You see, he had a personal decision to make. Go and do likewise. That's a decision. That was what he should do because that's what the law taught. That's what Jesus' answer was. He was accountable to know that answer. And brethren, we're not only accountable to know the answer, we're accountable to do it. Because that's the example our Lord taught us. Who could look at the life of Jesus Christ and not see the life of a servant? He did not come to be served. He came to serve others. He gave his life as a ransom for many. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 and look at the words of Jesus in the great Sermon on the Mount of verse 16. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. See my good works to benefit me, for glory for me, for adulation for me? No, to glorify God. Now let me ask you a simple question on the other side of the coin. What if we don't demonstrate those good works? What does that exemplify? What does that exemplify? And so in conclusion this morning, could you answer the questions? Somebody came to you and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Could you give them the answer? Would you know how to answer the question? Could you accept the answers? If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, and you want to know what you need to do to be saved, here's what God says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. John 8, verse 24. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11, and verse 6. Faith without works is dead, being alone. James chapter 2, verse 24. You need to repent. The time of vengeance, God once winked at it, but He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17, verse 30. You need to confess Christ. With the heart, man believeth on the righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And you must submit to baptism in order to contact the blood of Christ. Spiritual circumcision, Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. And Jesus Himself said, he that believeth, Mark 16, verse 16. I just answered your question. And I want you to notice what I did. I gave you a book. I gave you a chapter. I gave you a verse. Because that's not my answer. That's not the Church of Christ answer. That's God's answer to the question. That's what you need to do. Can you accept the answer? We will be held accountable for how we answer. If you're here and you are a child of God and you've wandered back into sin, and you've left your first love, and you've gone back, you need to come home. And why do you need to do that? Because that's what God's book says. In Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer, after he believed the preaching of Philip, and he was baptized, he tried to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit from Peter, and he says he was told to repent and pray to God that the thought of your heart might be forgiven you. Acts 8, verse 23. You know what? We often quote that, but we never quote verse 24. You know what 24 says? He asked Peter to pray for him that these things might not come upon him. You know what that's called? That's called the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And 1 John 1, verse 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us. That was written to Christians. The book of 1 John was written to Christians. And if you're a child of God and you're in sin, you need to repent and you need to come home. You see, God's book does have all the answers. The lawyer didn't ask the question that stumped the master. He had the answer. The answers aren't the problem. The problem is, what do we do with the answers? What will you do with the answers this morning? You have the time and opportunity as together we stand.